Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I think the words from Luther's Lord's Prayer hymn are very appropriate this time of our lives. Your kingdom come, guard your domain and your eternal righteous reign. The Holy Ghost enrich our day with gifts attendant on our way. Break Satan's power, defeat his rage, preserve your church from age to age. From evil, Lord, deliver us. The times and days are perilous. Redeem us from eternal death. And when we yield our dying breath, console us, grant us calm release, and take our souls to you in peace. Over the last few weeks, I have read Revelation. I'm on the second reading in just a few weeks. And I've had a number of people reach out to me about Revelation 13 or about whatever new virus they've cooked up and are sending our way. And I look at all these things and I say, so what? It's not that I don't care. It's not that I want people to have disease and die. It's just that I know that death is only a temporary thing for the Christian. Death is the thing that leads us to Jesus Christ for all of eternity. I can deal with that. And not only can I deal with that, I will rejoice in that. When I look at Revelation 13 and I see these beasts coming forward that God allows for a time to reign, yes, there is plague. Yes, there is disease. There is death. There is decay. There is destruction. There is the mark of the beast. All of these things, and people want to know what it all means. And to be completely honest, what it all means is that the devil is raging. The devil and those who follow him carry the mark of the beast. It's not necessarily a vaccine or a worldwide passport. It is following the devil. Trust the science, they blaspheme. Trust the science as opposed to the one that we will trust, which is God. We will trust in God, because often science is bought at whatever highest price is paid. Meanwhile, the food that we have consumed, so much of it gives diseases that they then spend the money to feed us with. They treat rather than prevent. You, dear child of God, are better than that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Exercise. Eat well on occasion, yes, especially on Mother's Day. Indulge in that ice cream or custard. But rejoice that God has given you this body, and not just temporarily, but for all of eternity. This body that you praise Jesus in will be the same body that you praise him for all of eternity in. But there it will be glorified. There your knees will not need to be replaced. Your hips will allow you to run and not grow weary. Your eyesight will not degenerate, but you will be able to see the Lamb reigning on his throne. The mark of the beast is those who follow the devil. In this unholy trinity, the two beasts and that ancient serpent, the devil. They rage, but notice they cannot actually harm the church. The woman and her child are not harmed by this dragon. The devil ultimately cannot tear the church apart. We live in such an odd time, in a time when those who claim the name of Jesus do the opposite of what his word says. This is not the way. This is not the truth. This is not life. Last Sunday, as I was at McDonald's, I know, I just talked about eating properly. But on every child's baptismal birthday, I take him or her out one-on-one for a meal at the restaurant of their choice, and it just so happens we have a play place here. And so as we were gathered there, Sam did a great job. I said, "Bud, we need to be done at 1:30 because you have a birthday party starting at 2. We need to be done so we can get home, so we can prove to Mom that I can actually get things done in a timely manner." Lo and behold, 1:30 rolls around. Like lightning, he comes down, puts his shoes on, and as we're walking out, there's a man sitting at a table by himself. And he says to me, "Are you a Lutheran priest?" And I said, "I am." Because in those moments, I don't go or care about the pedantics of priest or pastor. Pastors are referred to as priests throughout the world. And as I'm standing there talking to him, he starts giving me a list of things that he and his church believe. Meanwhile, of course, these are all things that go against what the Bible says. Sam did a great job sitting there, eventually laying on the bench waiting for me to be done. But I convinced Stephanie, and this is the truth, that 3/4 of that conversation was him talking to me. And with a smile, I redirected him to Bible passages that talked about what he was trying to tell me. Because God's word is bigger than the lies of the devil. The world is so confused, even our clergy, even these men who are supposed to proclaim the word of God and stand upon it. But he gave me a message that God just wants people to be happy and to do whatever they want. And I encouraged him once again, read your Bible. God desires our not temporary happiness, but our eternal joy, our eternal delight. And our delight is not what craves in our flesh. Our delight is in the Word of God. It is in eternal communion with Him. The beasts will come. The devil will form that unholy trinity, and they will try to convince the world to follow after him. But you are marked with something more precious and more beautiful, even if you get home just in time for the party after talking about it. You are marked in the blood of the Lamb. You carry a seal. Once again, it's not a barcode. It's the mark of Christ. You are baptized. You are his child. And when you place your hand in water or not, and you remember that you belong to Jesus, you proclaim to the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh, "I don't belong to you. I belong to Jesus." The devil flees at that. What is the 666? Is it an actual number, or is it just the mark of a man? For men chase after their own desires rather than the fulfillment of Christ. You are marked in that blood. When you were baptized, you were branded with that cross. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You were bought at that price. So do not fear what is written in Revelation. Yes, the days will become very perilous. Yes, the days will become darkened. But when you have Christ, you have the light. You have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Do not be so concerned about these things. Instead, lean further into your faith. Train. Train not only physically, but spiritually. How do you train spiritually for those days? How do you prepare in case a new virus comes and they try to seclude you from one another all over again? You pray. And you worship. And you gather. You gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they are your blood or someone else's blood, for they carry the blood of Jesus. You pray. You ask the Father. So much confusion has happened when we forget that Jesus himself gives us the authority to pray to the Father. We are unworthy because of our sin to pray to God directly. That is absolutely true. But Jesus gives us that ability, and he gives us that command. Rogate, and the days that follow, these rogation days, are days of prayer. days of trust, days of asking of God. Rogate actually comes from our gospel lesson where Jesus tells them, ask ye, you all ask. It's an imperative. It is his command. Trust that when you pray, our Father, your Father hears you. Whether or not the saints in heaven are praying for the church, if they are, thanks be to God. But you have a line to the Father because of the Son. These are the days where you remember how to pray. These are the days when you remember how to gather. These are the days when you remember you are a baptized child of God and the devil has no claim over you. This is the pure religion. Oftentimes people will try to say that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And I think you fall off on the other side. Why can't things be both? Why can't Jesus Christ be both God and man? Why can't what we receive in the supper be both bread and the body of Christ, wine and the blood of Christ? Why can't these things be true? And of course, you know that they are. Christianity is a religion. It is a way of life. And it is a relationship. But it's not just me and Jesus. It's a corporate thing. This is why the church has always gathered. This is why in the scriptures, God commanded his people to gather, to sanctify the holy day, to remember that day by gathering. This is why we are told not to neglect this day, not to neglect the gathering. This is why it's called a congregation. Because you congregate together. But don't think that your salvation is dependent just on whether or not you sat in a pew. You are to be hearers of the word. But James is very clear in our epistle lesson, be not only hearers, but be doers of the word. Let the word that you hear this day actually affect how you live your day-to-day life. It is good for you to be here. It is good for you to be filled with the Spirit while here. But there are 6 days and 165 other hours this week. What are you going to do with them? Are you going to live a different life on Sunday morning? Are you going to dress in your Sunday's best? Are you going to make sure that you wear your cross necklace, but on the rest of the days put that cross necklace underneath your clothes so that no one can see it? Or will you proclaim not only in this beautiful house, but to the world that you are a Christian? This is your religion, and this is your relationship. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observed himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one is blessed in what he does. You have been set free, dear Christian. But not so that you can harm others, but so that you can glorify God to them, so that you may serve them. You are Lord of all, and yet you are servant to all. If anyone among you thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If on Sunday morning you sing praises to God, you confess the words of the creed, you confess that God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is Lord over your life, if you used your tongue or your heart this morning to confess your sins and acknowledge with your amen that Jesus Christ has forgiven your sins, and then you use that same tongue tomorrow morning to lash out in gossip, in false words, in lies and deceptions, then your religion is useless. But if you use that tongue to continue to glorify God, to continue to ask others how they are doing, to continue building them up in the truth, and yes, proclaiming that truth in the midst of their lies, correcting them. If when you are sitting across from a table from a man who tries to get you to believe the opposite of what God's word says, and you don't share with him God's word, not because you hate him, but because you actually love this man that you're meeting for the first time, and you desire, just as God does, for his eternity be with him, do it. Do it in love. You don't have to yell and scream at him. Show him Jesus. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. I thank God that this church, this congregation of congregants who come together, actually do care about the widows among us. That not only do we keep a running tab, but that there is a group of people who have volunteered their time and their talents to provide care as is needed. They stand ready to help. So if you are a widow and there is something that happens in your life where you need a helping hand, please let us know and we will be there to assist you. We are pure, not because we are a congregation of perfect people, but because we are a congregation that worships the perfect God. The perfect God who became man, who dwelt among us, who took his sins upon himself on that cross, who suffered the death that we deserve, and was raised again on the third day. This coming Thursday, we will celebrate once again our Lord's ascension back to his throne. Back to the throne that he temporarily laid aside so that he could be like us. That he could see through our eyes. That he could heal us of our afflictions and our diseases, but more importantly, heal us of our sins. We will rejoice that he is back on his throne, which means that he is able to be with us this Sunday morning as he is in Christian churches throughout the whole world. We rejoice in that opportunity and that worship. Dear Christian, rejoice that you have a Father who loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you. Rejoice that you have a Father that is not too busy for you, but hears all of your petitions and answers them according to his holy will. Jesus said, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own. Do not let them scatter you again. They will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." When you pray, and do it every single day, pray believing that God hears you. Pray believing that he will answer you. Luther, in his sermon on prayer and this text, talks about Judith. Judith is one of the women that we will be studying in the fall, one of the women of the books of the Apocrypha. A woman who was raised up by God at a time when the people weren't so faithful. At a time when they gave God restrictions on when he could or couldn't act. And so God raised up a woman to shame them. He raised up a woman who would take the head of the ruler of the enemy, because the men were too fickle, the men were too afraid to fully trust. Perhaps this is the time that God is raising all of you up, so that when this world rages, when they try to scare you, when they try to separate you, when they try to isolate you, you will have none of it. So that your strength and your faith may go forward proclaiming Jesus the Christ. Yes, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. The church sings, Amen, that is, so shall it be. Make strong our faith in you that we may doubt not, but with trust believe that what we ask we shall receive. Thus in your name and at your word we say, Amen. O hear us, Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.